I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How appetizing is your sample? Yeah, exactly. I know. Now, to recap, last week we returned to the story of Joseph to see how all of the painful pit stops were finally beginning to pay off as the necessary training that equipped Joe to be God's instrument of blessing to everybody else. And after moving from prison to vice president, we saw the secret formula that blessed him so he could bless others. And it was this: we got to sow God's word in our heart so we can grow it in our lives, so we can stow it for a fulfilling future. But there is a reason that God wants all that goodness inside of us. And we actually read it last week. It's because the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. So you get that, right? The process produces a product. If you sow, grow, and stow, you'll have something to show. We're rhyming up a storm today. And in the same way that Joe's faith was proven to Egypt by the piles of grain produced before the famine, our faith is proven to others by the goods that we produce. Because God doesn't fill us up so we can just walk around spiritually full of ourselves. What God grows in us is supposed to reach out through us. Because like we said a couple weeks back, explanations just can't compete with experiences. Because explanations are just empty words until we personally feel their weight. And that is why there is no better advertisement on the planet for a quality product than the taste test. You know how we say the proof is in the pudding? You know, like the proof is in the pudding, that's how you know, right? You know that that's actually the shortened version of the original, because sometimes I've found that strange. The proof is in the pudding. What are you talking about? Like, that's such a, okay, I guess so. The original saying is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. It just doesn't flow as good. But it's the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Of course it is, because every claim of quality is ultimately proven by a firsthand experience. And for this, you already know this, because we can paint the picture easily. Think Costco, okay? You ever been to Costco? They're our neighbors. Yeah, exactly. Nobody at Costco stands at the end of an aisle and says, "Folks, allow me to explain this chicken nugget to you." Not happening. Notice the delicate breading and surprisingly tender interior. Not happening. And you know why? It's because something else works way better, and it goes like this. Here, try one. And one toothpick later, and you're pushing a 10-pound box of nuggets through checkout. And you're just like, how did they get me, you know? And why does that work? Here's why. It's because a single experience is worth a 1,000-word explanation. Right? You just know it. And because God knows us, he knows that. And because his plan only produces quality products, we are all invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. God doesn't say, "Listen and understand that I'm good." He says, "Taste and see." Because you can explain sweetness, right? Like you can say what it kind of tastes like and everything, but tasting it is just different. One bite tells you everything that you want to know. And in that exact same way, you can read about God's love, but experiencing it says it all. And because that's true, instead of sending a bigger Bible with more words, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You get that? I mean, Jesus literally embodied what God's love looks like when it has eyes that notice, and ears that listen, and feet that follow, and hands that help, and arms that hold, and a mouth that speaks what others actually need to hear. God turned his explanation into an experience to clear up all of the questions where words fall short, where you just can't quite, you know, wrap your head around it. And to make sure that everybody gets a taste of that experience, he told those of us who've had the experience, this is how it works. Listen, this is all to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit for others to taste, right? You got to make some fruit now, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. You know, serve it up. How do we do that, though? Well, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Because as Paul points out, this means now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you a part of it. Because Jesus' life was just a temporary taste of the eternal good that God's love can produce when it is planted in a person. But Jesus himself reminded us that it can be reproduced in us. And that means that we have the capacity to share the exact same taste of Jesus' life-saving love that we experienced. As long as, you know, we serve the sample by the book. But the truth is, it's kind of hard to share God's love through our flesh. Just look at yourselves. I'm just saying, really, look at yourselves. Does your life offer an untainted taste of Jesus? Or do you serve it a little salty, or spicy, or soggy? You do, just so you know, you do. Lord knows I've served it all three ways. You do, and that's fine, that's okay, because we are imperfect parts of the body at best. We can't reproduce it the way that it's supposed to be. We're just parts of it. So the question then becomes, what do we do? You know, if we can't, if it's just in our hands, it becomes something else. What do we do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. It's the exact same way that food servers have to use guidelines and gloves and thermometers and sneeze guards to reproduce their product properly. We have God's word to keep our sample up to God's standards. So grab your spiritual hairnet. We're going to run through the 6-step training to keep our sample of the Savior sanitary and scrumptious. You ready?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so ready.
Thad's ready. Thad's ready. Who's ready? Yeah. Okay. We're going to fire people up. Okay. 6 steps. This is just what you got to do to keep your sample where it needs to be. And step one could not be simpler. First step, show up. Just show up, because love enters the experience. I mean, the first rule of serving samples is you got to be where the hungry people are. You know, you don't see it happening in, you know, your house. That's just not how it works. Just like Jesus, our love can't come from the comfort of a couch. And I know what you're saying. You're like, it sounds great, but I'm just so busy. I want you to hear this. Whatever you got going on, because I say this all the time. I'm so busy. Oh, I don't have time, right? You got time to watch Netflix. You got time. Jesus was busier than you. Whatever you got, Jesus was busier than you are at your busiest moment. And he stayed close enough to everyone to be interrupted and exhausted and misunderstood and hugged and hurt. He was just around all the time. Which means some of the most Christ-like love that we can ever serve might seem bland, but it's just not. It's the most savory. Just making time to show up and be in a hospital waiting room, or to go to that funeral service, or swing by someone's front porch, or make that phone call, or have a cup of coffee, or just sit with someone. All of those things, just showing up, says more about love than any sermon ever could. Because, bless you, because your presence proves your priorities. You know, it just, you know it to be true. And in a world that is full of pain and confusion like this one, it is so profoundly moving when somebody just shows up to share your burden the way that Jesus did. Just do it. Just be around. And after you show up, number 2, shut up. Just shut up, Noah. Just shut up. Because love listens before it speaks. This is hard for some of us, okay? This is hard for those of us who think that we have the answers for others. I got it. I can solve everybody's problems but my own for some reason. But remember this. Remember, Jesus actually had all of the answers to all of our problems. And yet still, he sat and sympathized with all of our pain. That is just crazy. He just took the time. Because sometimes an answer isn't the solution. Endurance is. Just being there. Men seem to struggle with this, I found. I think it's us guys can't help it. We just want to solve the problem. And that's just, there's not always a solution. Sometimes you have to go through it. Because letting someone let it all out is often more helpful than all the advice that you want to give. Oh, that is convicting. I just want to solve it. But this is true. That's why we pay therapists so much money, just to make us talk about ourselves. We show up and they say, you do the talking. And I'm like, what are you getting paid for? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. You listen, right? So before you ever try to fix anything, hear them out to help them out. Okay, that's how God did it. Jesus could have gone to the cross to pay the price for our sin without hearing us complain about the mess we made, right? Like, you get that? He could have come and been like, all right, you know, I'm going to go do the thing for these ungrateful kids and all that. But he didn't. He didn't avoid us. He came and he was a part of all of our mess. Because God's love wants every single heart fully expressed so they can be completely fulfilled. He wants to hear it. You know, he wants to know about it. And when our sample lets others experience a love that actually listens, even the hardest hearts will begin to soften. And that's when, step three, we can step up. Because love does take action, right? Love takes action. It doesn't just sit by. It doesn't just listen. Now listen, Jesus is Lord, but since he split, you are his body. And that means if we want others to experience the care of Christ, it is literally in our hands. And yet, this very interesting thing is happening, especially a lot lately. In this world, we want to focus on words instead of actions, because we can fake intentions, but we can't fake actions. And we would love to just talk a big game and never actually have to walk anywhere. But you can't fake actions. So when you do, you know it's true. And while Pharisees and fakers describe love, Jesus delivers love to your door. It's not in theory. It is not maybe if we make this law, maybe if we whatever, you know, he just does it. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and without daily food. If one of you says, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing, what good is it? Nothing, right? So let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Go get them. Because to give a taste of the love that went to battle with sin and death on our behalf, we got to show others that we are willing to join their fight as an active ally against the pain and problems that are going on in their life right now. I mean, and this is, you know this to be true. I'm telling you stuff that you already know, you've experienced it, you've felt it, and you've done it. You know it. You got to go to them, and you got to actively love and be a part of it. But also, our actions shouldn't just be reactive. It shouldn't be, oh, here's a problem, I go to help with that, right? Because God's love is proactive. It happens beforehand. So number four, sign up. You don't just step up, you got to sign up, because love takes initiative. We can be doers of the word and still be missers of the opportunity. So while it is great to join someone's fight, God's love goes looking for a fight. It says, where's stuff going wrong? Where can I bring this love into the situation? Because taking action is moot if we wait to be told to take it. Instead, like Esther, one of the great, you know, verses in the Bible that we love, like Esther, we should proactively ask, perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, maybe right now you're in a place to do something about it, to bring that love into the situation, because you have a royal position, right? Your faith made you a kid of the King. And loving others like Jesus means flexing that faith by bringing the power of His love into the situations where you see that it's needed before others ask. You know, run to the neighbor whose hands are full of groceries. Just get over there. Say, oh, let me give you a hand with that, right? Text that coworker who's been having a rough week who just won't shut up about it. You know what I mean? It's me is what I'm saying in that situation. I'm like, wow, my life is so hard. That's why I get those texts all the time. It's because people are like, Noah, God loves you. Gee, shut up, you know. But text them, you know. Text that coworker who's having that rough week. You know it. Just do it. And then offer to pray with absolutely everyone who you see out there who is hurting and helpless or feeling hopeless. Just say, can I pray with you? Because serving samples means treating all interruptions as invitations. When things go wrong, that's a great opportunity for you to get in there and see if we can make it right. Just smother it in God's love, right? Give them a sample. Even when someone's just looking for the bathroom, I see this at like Costco sometimes where I go up and I ask someone, I go, I know that you don't actually work here doing the sample thing, but like, do you know which aisle this is? And some of them go, I don't work here, bud. Like, good luck. You know, and some of them are like, I think I saw it over there. They do look good. You should go try it out. And I'm like, those people are great. So even if it's somebody who's just coming through and like, do you know where the bathroom is at? Give them a sample snack for the road. You know, you can just say, happy to help and God bless. You would be amazed at how far that can go. Sometimes that's all it takes. And while love gives you a chance to get into the game, once you sign up, our intervention is not going to be welcome unless we, number five, open up. Ooh, this is another tough one. Open up, because love shares. Love shares. Being proactive to have a persistent presence is key. You got to be there. You got to be around. You got to like get ahead of it, right? But once you are where the sample needs serving, it is time to connect to the customer so that you can be a bridge to the experience, right? You got to have some kind of a relationship and say, oh yeah, no, that's great. Now, have you tried this? You know, and that means you got to make it personal. Listen to this. This is becoming one of my favorite, like, quick shortcut principles in the Bible, like, that really drive this point home. I want you to listen to how Paul says God's love pulled him through some pain. He lays it out so clearly. He says, we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Got it? Okay, I want to be very clear on this. Who comforted Paul? God. But how did God comfort Paul? Titus, right? Because that's how it works. Believers don't just follow God's orders. Christians serve God's purpose as His person. And I'm going to take a second here, because I really want you to get this, because this is critical. This is key to overcoming a very common complaint in the Christian walk. It happens. It happens to everybody at some point. Because at some point, when you start coming to church, the big building and all these new people and that corporate worship and all the initial optimism that you feel when you first start following Jesus, that just makes you go, I got it. It's all figured out. It's real and it's happening, right? Eventually, at some point, all of that new life normalizes. It just becomes normal. And that is when we start saying things like, if I'm honest, I don't really feel the love of Jesus the way that we talk about it. And we just say, like, I mean, we're up here telling people, oh, you know, drop your burdens at the cross and it's going to be incredible. And there's just a lighter pep in your step and everything's going great. And at a certain point, especially the believers who've been here for a long time start to say, I don't really feel it like that. I don't feel like I'm saying what I really feel. And this happens because we envision God's love as this supernatural sensation of His omnipotent presence that gives this clear guidance and confidence and reassurance through this big booming voice, you know, that's like divine intervention and miraculous protection, and it's never going to be a problem again, and I was going to be in a car accident, and he just picked the car up and moved it out of the way because, wow, right? And we go, that's how I expect to feel God's love. The problem is we're his body. We're his body. And so do not mishear me here. God is God, and he certainly can move mountains with miracles whenever he wants, and he does. And there are crazy things in most believers' lives where you're like, yeah, that was a God thing. That's what we say. That was a God thing. I can't believe it. It's astounding what he can do, right? Whenever he wants. However, let's not forget this. The heaven that we are supposed to call home requires each resident to care for each other by cooperating with the head's commands, right? So if we pray for God himself to give us guidance and confidence or reassurance, we should expect his loving response to come from one of us. Titus, whatever you're looking for, you're praying for it, he can send one of us. We are the body. His hugs use our arms, right? Like he cannot come and, I mean, again, he could, but you'd be pretty special if he did. Here's your hug now. I'd be like, oh yeah, sorry. Like you're busy, I know. So his hugs use our arms though. His help extends our hands. And his encouragement is spoken by our mouths. And that means his love is never distant, but his body might be delinquent. This is actually, it's all throughout the Bible, right? Moses, Elijah, Jonah, these people who God's like, I'm sending you. You are my instrument of my love, my will, my whatever I'm sending. And a lot of the time we go, right now? Like, do I have to go now to them? You know, that's the problem. It's not him. It is us. We are the body. And that love can sometimes just be waiting on us. So the message there is foster fellowship to facilitate God's feelings. Because like John says, God is love. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In this world, we are like Jesus. We are like Jesus. We are the body. Just like love, God is something that we can't see, but we can experience through others. Because when we open our lives to one another, we open the way for others to experience God. Because the invisible God becomes a tangible God through our body. Okay? I mean, I just really want to drive this point home. So I want you to hear his voice when I say, I love each and every one of you. That's him. That is so true. Because I'll tell you what, I was a cynical jerk for a long time. And it was through my walk and my transformation, I mean it. I love you guys. You have no idea what you mean to me. You have no idea how much, like, I empathize with everything that you guys are going through. It's why I became a pastor, is because I just feel it. You are all incredible. And that's only because it is his love coming through me. If we all actually did that and became the body, I mean, and did it better. I'm not saying I'm doing a good job. Let's make sure of that. But boy, oh boy, if we did, that would be it. Right? I mean, that's all that it takes. It is us who brings the love to each other. And as we learn to do that, as we learn to recognize and reproduce that love in our lives, we will just naturally, number six, grow up. Because love looks like Jesus. Like, we will just grow up and become that body. Because spiritual maturity does not mean giving better explanations of Jesus. I used to think that. When I first started, when I was going to become a pastor, I thought, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to write the book that's going to be like the apologetic book that just has all the answers in there. And it's like, there, the, you know, the math equation checks out. Therefore, God, you're welcome. Right? It didn't happen again. It's very clear, right? Because you can't. Because that's not what it is about. It is not about getting better at explaining Jesus. It's being better examples of Jesus. That's what you got. That's what you can do. That's what we're called to do. We just grow up. just become examples of Jesus. So as his love grows in us, our sample just naturally begins to show a body that shows up and ears that listen up and feet that step up and hands that sign up and a heart that opens up. It just happens. They just start to see all those things the more that you do it, because you are what you serve. So if we are speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect. I mean, and you hear that qualifier. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. Okay, there's no ifs, ands, or buts here. We are talking about it. You will be Christ's body. Because nobody's going to be hungry for God's love until you've grown a quality example of the experience for others to sample. Right? You have to really create that taste. And that is what Lee Strobel learned the hard way. You guys know Lee Strobel? The Case for Christ? He's done a bunch of those case for blanks. Again, one of the most successful apologists of our time, kind of in the tradition of C.S. Lewis, Tim Keller, these guys who I just love to read because they're so wonderful with their words. And he made a career out of giving people these great explanations of Jesus. And he talks about it and he says, mostly skeptics who don't believe, you know, I'm an atheist, and you say, okay, I'm, you know, getting ready for him. And most skeptics usually ask some form of the question, if God is real, then why does he allow all the suffering? And since that's the big problem, Strobel was ready. He said, I had a 5-point sermon ready to go to argue the answers and say, it has to be this way. It makes sense. And it's not delinquent. You know, it's going, it's working, it's happening, right? And so he would do this for years and years, and he would have these arguments with people. But eventually, he saw how arguing didn't really convince the starving that Jesus was worth trying. It was just more of an argument. And so at some point in this, he pulled back. And when they would say something like, well, you know, why would he allow all this suffering? And instead of just trying to answer the question, he started asking, why did you choose that question? Why was that the thing that's been the hurdle to get you to, like, even try Jesus on? And he heard, because my wife has cancer, because we lost our child, where was God when my life fell apart? And suddenly the light came on, and he said he realized that the tangible pain of life had a better case than the invisible love of God. Because it's just right there. You can't ignore it. It's just so visceral. And that's because hungry hearts don't need to argue Jesus. They need to taste Jesus. They need his tangible body to sit with them, to hear them out, to share in their tears, to acknowledge their pain, to encourage their heart, and to hold them in their arms. And so that's what he started doing. He said, I just put my arm around them. That's the best apologetic you'll ever see. That's the best. That's the experience. And that is what all of us here at his place are for. That's what we are doing. We ain't anybody's savior, but we are the body that he uses. And we are the example for others to sample, to taste and see that the Lord's produce is good. Amen? Amen. So show up and shut up and step up and sign up and then open up. Get real and then grow up. Because everybody out there, every single person is starving for Jesus, for real. They just don't know it, and it is up to you to give them a taste. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you, and we thank you for filling us with a love that has the power to satisfy every starving person who is seeking a solution. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you keep our hearts hungry for you, and you make our lives an appetizing example of the goodness that you want others to experience. And Lord Jesus, boy, we praise you. We praise you and seek to grow more like you so that our lives can serve as your body and make the invisible tangible so everyone can taste and see that you are good. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.